You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. These are words that many of us have heard and may not overtly be opposed to. But for some of us, the idea of being on display is not one we naturally pursue. I know that's something that I felt. These days, I find God inviting me to a lot of content creation, but I've never been one to desire the spotlight, even in the many times I've found myself in it. This is true for Tyshandra as well. I met Tyshandra as a guest on her podcast, Who God Says, and she's joining today for her first time guesting on any podcast. Both her podcast and guesting were not things that she in and of herself desired to pursue, but it was clear to her that God was inviting her to share, prompting her repeatedly with that passage, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." On her own, she may have been content being hidden, but she is willing to be atop the hill if that's what God is inviting. If you share the same dilemma as Tyshandra and I, that you'd be fine being behind the scenes, but God is putting you on display, I think her processing will be an encouragement for you today. You're listening to episode 168 of the Where Did You See God podcast. Father God, I just want to thank you that you are God and you are good. And I thank you for yet another opportunity for Tyshandra and I to be able to connect and talk, and just the way that you brought this together. We are anticipating that you're at work, that there's something you want to do in this time and space. And so we give ourselves to you. We give our words and our thoughts. Pray that you are honored and glorified, but we also thank you in advance for how we are convinced you are going to move. So Holy Spirit, move in this time. Most for pray in most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Tyshandra, you and I have talked before on your podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be able to flip it around where I get to hear more from you. But if you were to run into somebody on the street and it was going to be like a quick 30-second interaction, how would you communicate who you are to that person?
Who? 30 seconds.
It could be a little longer if you want.
So, yes. So I have Who God Says podcast, which is terrifying to me. Very terrifying, because I didn't really want to do a podcast. I would not have imagined myself being on camera. And I mean, just talking with so many different people.
Yeah.
Woo. And then sharing things about myself that a lot of times my family don't even know. I've had friends call me and they're like, "I didn't know that."
Right.
And I'm like, "Oh, well, yeah." I usually would say I'm busy. It's tax season, but I'm not really busy. I would say maintaining.
Yeah.
I'm maintaining. I'm usually feel like I have so much going on that I can't focus. And then when I try to focus on one thing, I feel like there may be a little bit of guilt there because I'm not focusing on other things, or I might feel like other things are falling by the wayside. You know, I'm a single mom, so that's always there. Like, okay, I have a tax business. Now I have a podcast. I had a restaurant. So it was like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But now, it doesn't really feel busy. It feels like progress.
Yeah. One thing I appreciate about you and the little bit I've gotten to know you, and even in our brief conversation before we started recording, is that you have tried to position yourself to be obedient when God gives an invitation, even if you have a million reasons why you shouldn't or don't want to do it. So you talked about being busy. You talked about being a single mom. You talked about not wanting to be on camera. All these things. And yet now you have a podcast, and now you're a guest on a podcast. And so it's, you positioned yourself to step in obedience, even if you don't know what God's going to do.
Right.
Us talking now is part of that. So, you know, as you were coming up to this time, what has God been putting on your heart that you feel like he might be prompting you to share or to press into?
a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Mm. And that's what I kind of have been hearing for the last few months. Mm.
Why do you think God's putting that on you? Because that's a big thing, right? Like,
yes.
I'm probably like the same way. I don't necessarily need to be a city, God. Let me be a small little town over to the side. I don't need to be up on a hill. So why do you think God's prompting you to be a city on a hill? And why do you think he's reminding you that you're not going to be hidden?
Because I am terrified of being seen. Okay, so I'm okay with being seen when I feel like, here's that word again, I'm in control, right? When I know what it is that I'm doing, when I know what I'm talking about, when I know each step of the plan.
Yeah.
Because I've been in leadership roles and I don't have a problem with it, you know? Mm-hmm. But now I just feel, okay, my flesh is feeling that I don't know everything and this is something new for me and I should not be shouting from the mountaintop because there are so many other people who are well qualified and well experienced and let them do it. Why do I have to do it? And so I think that is the main reason why, you know, God keeps putting that on my heart. Yeah. The city built on a hill cannot be hidden.
Yeah.
There are things that he wants me to do, and I can't just hide out and expect those things to get done the way he wants them to get done. So I have to take myself out of it. The control, I have to let it go. That is so hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
yeah. When I resonate with you, because that's something I think about often in regards to my life, the sheer number of times where I found myself in leadership roles that I didn't pursue, but I was willing to serve.
Yeah.
But how often I'm like, well, I'm not the right guy for this. let someone else step into this. And what's funny is it makes logical sense, right? Because in our minds, human logic says you want the best person for the job. I mean, that's what we're taught. When you're hiring, you find the most qualified, best person. That is how things work. What's hilarious, though, is you and I believe in scripture, and that's often not how scripture works.
When
Samuel was going and was supposed to anoint the next king, human logic was saying, find that oldest, tallest, strongest son of this man. Okay, not that one. Okay, the next oldest and tallest and strong. Okay, the next and next. And finally, this boy in a field shepherding sheep, right? Or Moses, called by God to confront Pharaoh. He says, well, I'm not good at talking.
Right.
You need to get someone else. Gideon.
Yes.
He's like, I'm the least of the least of the least. I can't lead your army. Meanwhile, you and I get in these positions where God's inviting us to step into leadership or to be out front. We're like, well, are you sure?
Are you sure?
And then I pulled up the verse. Then God says, no, I'm sure you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men.
Yes.
That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And here's the piece of it that I think you and I remember eventually. So Matthew 5 invites us to this. And what we know is that it's not actually about our light. Like we'll say, my light's not bright enough. Or I've just got this little flashlight. Go get the spotlight. And meanwhile, God's like, I'm the light. I'm the source of light.
Yes.
You just end up being like a mirror reflecting my light.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be bright enough. And so now here you are, God giving you these invitations. Your human logic telling you that, well, you're not this, that, or the other enough. And then God's like, yeah, no, I chose you because I already know you.
Right.
But I'm enough. So why is it then that you think that it's you that God is calling into these spaces? That it's you that he said, hey, go ahead and do this podcast. I know you don't want to do a podcast, but I want you to be the host of this podcast.
Well, God speaks to me mostly through dreams and he gives me visions. I don't understand them fully when he give them to me. And then sometimes he give them to me and I forget about them and I don't even think about them and he'll just bring them back to my mind years later. But I actually, oh my God, my heart is racing. I actually saw in a dream where I was standing somewhere and it was like a platform, and there was a mic in front of me, and I was looking out and I saw a lot of people. I could not see faces or anything like that, but I saw a lot of people. That was one part of it. And then another part of it, I was taking a walk and I saw these children. Like, first it was like little small animals, and then it was like little kids, and they were walking behind me. And then people just start joining in and walking behind me. And I'm like, well, why are you following me? Like, what's going on? Like, what is going on? I felt someone walking on the side of me. And then as I'm looking back, I'm like, what's going on? Why are these people following me? And then when I turned my head back, I felt someone who was walking on the side of me. He was walking in front of me, and now it was more of like my eyes were closed and he was leading me through the way that I described it. Like, have you ever seen a celebrity? And I'm not calling myself a celebrity, but when they're like on a red carpet or they're at this big shindig and there's security, and the security is like moving them through the crowd and like their head is down. They can't see where they're going, but they're trusting that the person in front of them is moving them through safely, right? And it was like that. It was like, I felt someone walking with me, who I can only attribute that to the Holy Spirit walking with me. And then when I turned my head back, he was in front of me, and I couldn't see where I was going, but I trusted that where he was leading me was safe. Yeah. And so most of the time I tell my dreams to my pastor. And the crazy thing is, within 3 months of meeting my pastor, he pulled me to the side and he said, Ty, he calls me Ty, you're going to be the spiritual matriarch of your family. And I was like, okay, that sounds nice. Okay. And he was like, you know, you're going to experience things that you never experienced before. He was like, I'm here to help you if you need help. And, you know, I started telling him about dreams and stuff, because I had this reoccurring dream, which kind of tormented me. But I told him about it. And then he said that I had to let it go. But he was like, it's hindering you from a gift that God has given you, which was prophecy. And he was like, you can tie, you know, it'll get mature as you mature. And so when the podcast came about, just out of the blue, which that's what we say, out of the blue, but when it came about and I just started, oh my God, just moving. I didn't really know what was going to happen. I have never even listened to a podcast. And when God put that on my heart and I started doing research, I did a course with Alex Sanfilippo. And then I was like, okay, God, I don't know how to do a podcast. And I don't like to do stuff halfway through. I didn't want to just get a cell phone and start recording and saying, hey, I got a podcast. You know, I wanted to know the ins and outs. And I just prayed and say, okay, you are the source. And I know you're going to send the resources, especially if I'm walking in your will. And so I took the course. I started learning about the equipment and editing and everything. And then I signed up for PodMatch, and I had like 8 episodes already scheduled before even recording the first one. And I was like, what in the world? What in the world? Oh, so I started. And then I had a few people was asking me about being a guest. And I was like, oh, no, I haven't thought about being a guest. You know, I'm just going to do this because, you know, this is what God put on my heart. This is the way he wants me to. And then he said, that's not all I said. That was some of what I said. And that's not all I said. So I'm like, okay. So now I'm here.
What I love, too, is that somebody listening could think that this is just a conversation about podcasting or a really good commercial for PodMatch. But if we think that, we're missing what's actually going on, because this isn't about podcasting. You shared this dream of you were walking and it came to a point where you knew you had to put your head down and keep going and trust the one walking.
Yeah.
And that's what this podcasting journey has been, is I didn't even want to podcast, didn't listen to podcasts, but I felt like God was inviting me to something. And since I didn't know it at all what I was doing or where I was going, I put my head down and just followed his lead. And that's a relevant thing for anybody who wants to be a follower of Christ, is that's what the invitation is going to look like. Because here's the truth. What you and I know is that there are plenty of podcasters out there that feel like they are the expert, that feel like they know exactly what to say and what to do. And there are plenty of people that are operating with a high level of pride in that space. And that's not what you have come in sharing. You're like, I don't know. So I took a class and I did the thing, and I still don't know because they're telling me to guess, but I wasn't going to, right? And it's something very different. And this is what I think is beautiful. As you were sharing about the dreams and you were sharing about your willingness to step in obedience, is that it's very hard for someone who is operating in pride to also be a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Because of that control piece you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, they're going to be like, I don't know why you're going this direction. And they lift up their head and they're like, I want to cut across this way.
Right.
We see the disciples do it over and over and over and over again. Jesus, why are you going this way? Jesus, why are you talking to these people? Peter rebukes him. Jesus, why are you talking about dying in Jerusalem? You're bad. You're wrong. Right. Like, but humility.
Yeah.
Humility positions us so that when we step in, we know we need to trust God.
Yeah.
And when God works, we know it was God and not us.
Yeah.
You know, when Paul tells God to take away the thorn, he recognized that God didn't because it protected him from becoming conceited.
Yeah.
And so that every time that God worked, he would be able to say, yep, I was weak. It was God's strength that did that. And so if I were to answer the question of why does God keep on calling you to be that city on the hill? Part of it, I believe, is in who he's made you to be, that you are choosing to live into, someone who is willing to be humble and obedient, so that when God works, you're not saying, what, this was my spotlight. I'm the source of the light. Like, you're just there like, yeah, that was God.
Yeah.
And so people will see that and suddenly realize, oh, maybe God can work through me in the same way, speak through me in the same way. Same thing with like dreams. You know, there are plenty of people. I mean, there are plenty of podcasts about dreams, and the people who are hosting it will say definitively, oh, I could tell you exactly what that dream means.
Right.
And meanwhile, you're like, I know I had this dream. I know what it evoked within me, but I don't necessarily know what it means. And so, in other words, you are not coming at this saying, I have control over the meaning. I have control over what I communicated about it. You're coming into it saying, God's the only one in control.
Yes.
And some reason he's given me access to this. So I want to try to shepherd this through.
Yes.
It's a very different way of operating because it puts you at risk and it makes you not the spotlight.
Right.
And for a lot of people, they don't like either of those things. But it's also the only way to actually live and thrive because it keeps you connected to the actual source of those dreams, source of that light. And so, you know, you talked about how you've started businesses, started, you know, a restaurant, you started a podcast, now you're starting to guest. As you've stepped more and more in obedience into spaces that you might not have chosen, what have you learned about what it means to be willing to step in obedience, what it means to step into the spaces you might not want to?
Oof. What have I learned? I've learned that I'm going to be afraid, that's going to happen.
Wait, you can't totally get rid of fear in life?
No. Absolutely. What? No. Mm. I've learned that I am going to be afraid. And usually when I am afraid, is when things work the exact way that God wanted them to work.
Mm.
Because most of the time when I am 100% and I know what I'm doing and I know what this is and I've studied so much that I know how to perform all these duties. Like, I've been in the tax industry for over 10 years. And side note, my mentor actually just celebrated her 10-year anniversary, and I was counting, and I was like, well, how long has my tax service been open? And we were laughing about it. I was like, wait, I have had a tax service open for 8 years now.
Mm.
And when I started that business, I was like, I gotta know all the tax laws. I gotta know this. I gotta know that. So when God told me to start it, I didn't start it. I was like, nope, I still need to experience this. I need to experience that. I need to get more experience. I need to work with more clients. I need to work with more advanced clients. I need to work on more business tax returns.
Yeah.
And I just kept going on and on and on until 2017 when I said, okay, I'm just going to open the tax service. I was so afraid, but I was so empowered when I opened the tax office.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, before I opened it, I just felt like I knew what I was doing. And I have a plan in my head. I have to do everything according to that plan. And then there's a contingency plan if that plan doesn't work. And then if something else goes wrong, we got plan C, because just in case we could. So that's how I've mostly lived, making sure that I have everything outlined and I have a plan. And God has basically stepped in and said, okay, let's throw that out the window. And I'm like, but see, what had happened was, and he was like, nope, let's throw that out the window. So the craziest thing, when I actually opened the tax service, I was pregnant. Mm. So I couldn't even focus on, let me go through all the seminars I can go to. Let's go through all the webinars. Let's go through all the tax law books. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. So I was pregnant. And then I was like, oh, I need to find funding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't need to find funding. It came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it came by homing pigeon or anything. As soon as I stopped focusing on being prepared, having a plan, being in control of when it's open and how it's open.
Mm-hmm.
And I let go of those things and I focus more on what do I need to do in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Because my pregnancies are high risk pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
With my son, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. Mm-hmm. So I was pregnant with cervical cancer and I was just getting into my third trimester with my son. And I was told that the cancer was progressing too much and that he would need to be aborted and I would have to have surgery. And so I didn't go back to the doctors. But my son is 10 now.
Yeah. Wow.
And I have no cancer. They did all type of exams and everything. And it was like, it's gone. We don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened to it. But yeah, my son is 10 years old. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, who's now 6, it's like it's a high risk pregnancy. I really didn't have time to focus on doing everything that I thought I needed to do with opening a tax service. And I just kind of let things go and focused on one step at a time. What can I do today? Can I take a walk? Can I make a phone call? Like those type of things. And then I found that in checking on other people and giving myself to other people and not necessarily worrying about, I need to do this. I got to do this. Things just started rolling out. And like you said, I know it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a organization right across the street from where I wanted my tax service to be open. And they help small business owners. And one of the directors sent me an email and was like, hey, would you like to join this program? We're trying to get people involved from the neighborhood who's looking to open up businesses. And I'm like, okay, sounds like a good idea. I would like to do it. But I probably won't be able to do it because I'm pregnant and then we don't know what's going to happen after I have the baby. And she was like, okay, no problem. Just keep me posted. That director was actually, I forgot what her title was, but she worked for a micro lending company. And about a month or so before I delivered my daughter, she gave me a call. She was like, hey, we're having a gathering over here at the office and we just want to introduce all of the small business owners to each other so you guys can get to know each other before we start the program. We had to push the program back 90 days. And so I'm like, okay. I go to the gathering. I meet a bunch of people who I've never thought I would have met in the city. And she was like, hey, We have a company here that helps small business owners get funding to open their business. If anyone is interested, you know, you can go ahead and fill out the paperwork here and we'll try to get it sent in. She was like, it takes about 30 days at the most. I was like, oh, I'll take some information. I took some information. I filled out a little form. I gave it, put it in the box and everything. The day I went into labor, I got a phone call. She was like, hi, Ty. Hey, you were selected to receive funding. Can you send over this? Can you send over that? And we'll try to see how much you qualify for, things like that. And I was like, what? I'm in labor. But I did it. I emailed over documents and everything. And I actually went into the hospital, pushed the baby out. I was still on this table. I gave her a call. I was like, did you receive everything you needed to get? And she was like, yep, I'm sending you one document I need you to sign and you're all done. She sent it to me. I signed it and I sent it back. Wow. I was still on the delivery table.
Wow. Did she know that? Did you fill her in on that later?
I didn't tell her until she called me back and I was in the mommy ward when she called me back.
Uh-huh.
And
it's commitment
I was like,
right there.
I just had a baby. She was like, you did?
And you're sending me documents?
She was like, oh my God, I'm sorry. Go ahead, go ahead. I was like, she was like, well, it's already been approved. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, what's so amazing about what you're sharing that I feel like we need to pay attention to is that we think we understand how life works, and it might not actually work like that. And so, you know, your brain was telling you, if you want to start your tax business, this is what you have to do. You have to do this, 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 this.
Yeah.
And God's like, or I could do it the way I want to do it. If you need funding, you have to go about it this way. And God's like, or I can just make funding show up when you're having a baby. Or, and then even in harder situations, like, you know, your story with the doctor, I mean, it's heartbreaking because I've known many people who have been in a similar situation where human logic led the doctor to say, there's no other option here.
Yeah.
And so this is what we have to do. But God whispered to you, or maybe I could do the impossible. And now you've got a 10-year-old running around the house, right?
And I can say in that circumstance, that is one of the things in my life that I can pinpoint and say that I definitely, definitely had a strong-willed faith at that time. It was not wavering. I didn't second guess. I didn't wonder why. I didn't even cry. Mm-hmm. I just said, okay.
Yeah.
And I just never went back to my prenatal visits.
Yeah. And this is the thing, you know, somebody could still miss the message even in what we're saying here. Maybe they accept the reality that reality isn't what we think it is.
Yeah.
But then they might say, well, then I'm just never going to plan for anything. I'm never going to do anything. I'm just going to let God do it all. Go ahead, God. I'll follow your lead. And like, it sounds good. I mean, it's good to follow God's lead. But that's also in so much of your story. God wasn't inviting you to control everything.
Right.
And God wasn't inviting you to not do anything at all.
Right.
There's this space in the middle where he was inviting you to still function, to still engage, to still think through, to still plan, and to hold it all loosely. So as you were sharing, I was thinking of Luke 14, starting in verse 28. And actually, I'm going to come back to 27, but I'm going to start in 28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So, right, like if you're going to start a tax preparation building, don't you go in first and figure out everything? Because if you don't and it falls apart, everyone's going to laugh at you. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So Jesus is laying out human logic, all right? If you're going to create something, you're going to make sure you have the tools and the resources. Otherwise, people are going to make fun of you. And if you're coming against someone, you're going to make sure you win that battle.
Right.
Otherwise, you try to make some peace, right? Jesus is trying to make them think that he's saying, yep, you solve the problems this way. But what I love is Jesus is so sneaky and creative because this is sandwiched in with what he actually is trying to get them to understand. So verse 27, and then I'll read verse 33. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yeah.
And then, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. So in other words, it's like Jesus is saying, yeah, go ahead and count the cost. Go ahead and plan things out. Go ahead and figure if you'll win or not. And then if I invite you to something that it is actually too costly, that's actually going to cost you everything, that's when you decide whether you're going to still follow me or not. Will you follow me if it looks like the most foolish thing ever?
Right.
And this is what you have been sharing, but what God has been demonstrating through your life, a willingness to step into the unknown, into foolishness, not because you know it's going to work out, but because you're walking through the crowd and Jesus is in front of you, like, all right, I'm going to follow your lead because I don't know where I'm going, but I believe that you do.
Yeah.
And so now, you know, you could have just been doing this on your own and demonstrating it to your kids and you would have been fine with that. But God wants it on a world stage.
See?
I mean, when you enter podcasting, it's available to anyone, anywhere in the world.
Yep.
And then when you start guesting, like, so you're living this out now on full display. And this is what's funny is, again, that city on a hill passage. There are people that would want to be that.
Yeah.
But as you've been talking, I thought about that verse in a way I hadn't before. And it says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Yeah.
Or put another way, even if we try to hide ourselves, even if we try to get out of the view of others, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Because we have signed up to be a conduit of God's light.
Yeah.
We can't be hidden anymore. Like, we can't just dip out into the shadows and, like, go off the grid. You, Tyshandra, cannot be hidden anymore. And so then the question becomes, are you going to accept that reality?
Right.
Am I going to accept that reality and let myself be seen? Or am I going to be like Jonah, who thought he could run away from God, who thought he could hide on a boat and take a nap and just be rudely awakened by the reality that, nope, you can't hide yourself from God?
Yeah, I've tried. I've tried.
And this conversation right now, what's so awesome about it in the context of what we've been saying is a demonstration of you deciding to not try to hide yourself.
Yeah.
Because you are now a guest. Right? On a podcast, not in control of the mic anymore because you're on the other end of it.
Yeah, I'm on the other end. It's a more relaxed type of feeling too, because I'm not like, oh my God, it's, the lights are going up and down and making sure everything is uploading and every. So it's a little bit more relaxed. Yeah, yeah. It's not as nerve-wracking as I thought it would be. But see,
here's what's funny. As you were saying that, it made me think that could be what Jesus keeps saying to us in our situations where we're trying to hold on to control, like where we're trying to do ministry in a certain way, and we're looking at all the dials and lights going up and down in our situations. And Jesus is like, I'm trying to let you know, I'm going to control the audio and video.
Right.
Like, you don't have to stress over that. The problem isn't that, it's that you're not trusting that I actually am in control of it. So in the same way that right now you're not worried about any of the audio and video because you're like, well, that's all Paul.
Yeah, this, that's what you got to do.
In life too, we just have to be willing to step in and say, all right, you'd actually named that at one point. You're like, well, God, I need this money. So, or you talked about something where you were like, well, it's on you, God. Maybe it was the podcasting. There was something where you're like, well, all right, this was your idea.
I mean,
so.
it's mainly the podcast, but it just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I was looking for funding, I was like, okay, I got to get the money to open this tech service. And then I was like, I kind of had to let all of that go. And I wasn't even looking for funding. And it just came to me.
Yeah.
He is the source.
Yeah. Now, the hardest part about all this is that because we're humans, we will still be walking in that crowd, following Jesus, still lift our head up and try to figure out where Jesus is going.
Yeah.
And we see, oh, there's a nice looking car over there. So that must be where he's leading me. And then when Jesus is veering off to the left, that's when we can start to feel a little tension. You know, God will provide.
Yeah.
But he doesn't always provide what we think he should provide. He doesn't always provide in the ways we think he should. He doesn't always provide in the timing, because he's trying to do something abundantly more than whatever plan we think is the best plan ever.
Yep.
And the disciples, this is what they faced. They saw Jesus, and they got to a place where they were trusting him with their lives.
Yeah.
Except they kept lifting their head up, and they're like, ah, Jesus, we can't go that way because they're going to try to kill you. So, like, if you want to be effective in ministry, you need to go this way. We can't go to Samaria because we don't like them. And so, like, it's not going to be a good look for us. Our reputation's going to get a little tarnished. So we need to go this way. And yet, there came a point after many, many, many missteps.
Yeah.
That it finally clicked a little more. And you get Peter, who at one point rebuked Jesus because he was stepping into harm's way.
Yeah.
Getting to a point where he was willingly being led into harm's way.
Yeah.
To the point of being martyred. Because he realized, oh, I always thought I was supposed to get to this destination, but the destination was following Jesus all along.
Yeah.
And so I don't know where he's ultimately leading me. Even if it's to death, I'm following this guy.
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to do. And I believe your kids are going to witness that.
Yeah.
And there's a seed planted in them now. And your listeners, your podcasts are hearing it. And there's seeds planted. And then people you don't even know about.
Yeah.
Someone comes in to get their taxes done. They're not even thinking about you. They just want to get the money or try to avoid paying money. But some kind of a seed is being slipped in there because God decided that he wanted a lit up city in a tax office.
Yeah.
Right, not a place we think of as ministry, but you know it is. Even when you're doing just practical work of putting numbers and running the math.
Right.
You know that it's ministry because you're an ambassador of Christ.
Yes.
And you may not say, here's your tax refund and here's a gospel tract. Like, you're not necessarily even doing that because you know you don't need to because the light is going to shine.
Yeah.
Because it can't be hidden.
Cannot be hidden. It's funny you say that. I just thought about one of my clients. She's 72 years old. And in 2022, my dad passed. Mm-hmm. And she called. And I was not trying to not answer her call. But it was like every time she would call, I would either be in the hospital with my dad or I'd be somewhere where I can see the call coming in, but I didn't have a good connection. So I knew the call was going to drop. And she just kept calling. When I got to a space where I can listen to a voicemail, she called me a lot and she left one voicemail. And she said, I hope everything is going good with you because you have never not answered one of my calls. And when I called you that third time and you didn't answer, I know something is wrong.
Yeah.
And she said, but I know that God is with you. So you're going to be all right. Now, when I actually listened to the voicemail, it was 2 weeks after my dad's funeral. And I was like, I only see this lady during tax season. I only see her during tax season. And I was like, well, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Just where did it come from?
Yeah.
But I want to be used. I want to be used by God in whatever capacity he has for me to be used. I'm willing.
Yeah. Well, as we start to draw to a close, I imagine there's somebody listening that is in that space where they kind of want to keep hidden or they're kind of afraid of what they think God's asking them to do and they do not feel prepared for it. What would you say to encourage that person right now?
Ooh, pray for courage. That's the only thing that's going to give you that drive to say, I have to forget everything else. It's really hard to forget the things that you've been taught, the things that you've experienced, the things that you've seen. Your way of doing things is very hard to forget, but we have to be like babies and we have to learn how to walk, learn how to talk. You know, babies trust automatically because they don't have control over their own lives. And that's how your walk should be with Christ.
Yeah.
It sounds crazy, but that's how you should live your life and trust that Christ is guiding you, protecting you and covering you, and just be encouraged. Pray for that
courage to say, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to take this step.
Yeah.
And I know that you're leading me through the crowd.
Yeah.
Courage. Yeah. You got to pray for courage.
I pulled up Joshua 1, starting in verse 5. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous.
Yep.
For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. That phrase, be strong and courageous, just keeps popping up in that passage. It's this invitation that is given when God knows very well there's plenty to be weak and fearful about.
Yes.
They were about to face armies that should defeat them. People had come back and said, oh, they're giants over there. It's not worth it. I mean, really great fruit, not worth it, because we're going to die. And Joshua and the other guy were like, I mean, sure, yeah, there's going to be challenges, but God's called us. He's going to make it happen.
Yep. Joshua and Caleb. That's where my son's names came from.
So good. That's why you got that Ebenezer planted so that every time you see your son, you were reminded about being strong and courageous.
Yes. Strong and courageous.
Yep. It's so good. So we can make that choice then. Like you said, I love that you named it. Fear is always going to be there knocking at your door. Now, do you have to give fear control? No. You can actually choose to be strong and courageous because we haven't been given a spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Spirit of fear is not from God. And it's still knocking at the door, but God's like, yeah, but you don't have to give him the keys of the car.
Right.
Oh, it's so good. Well, if somebody wanted to connect with you and what you're doing, what's the best way for them to do that?
Ooh. You could go to our website, whogodsays.com. We're on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. My 14-year-old has me on TikTok. Nice. But yeah, Who God Says on all platforms. And I'm just here. I have to do what God tells me to do. Mm-hmm. I welcome everyone who wants to send in any encouragement because I receive all of that. Mm-hmm. And any of your testimonies as well. Yeah, I love to hear people's stories.
Yeah. And it's a great show. I really enjoyed being able to have the privilege of being a guest, and we had a good conversation.
Oh, thank you.
And now we've had another good conversation.
Yeah.
And as we close out, is there anything else that God's putting in your heart that you feel like you'd like to share?
I would just say the way things are going right now, I know a lot of people are in pain. I know a lot of people have questions. And I would say the best answer is to seek first the kingdom of God. If you need an answer for anything, seek first the kingdom of God.
You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. There are many who are perfectly content being in the background. I'm one of them. I have no desire to be in the spotlight, and yet over and over and over, God has invited me to be that city on a hill, that lamp on a stand. There have been many moments that I have faced trepidation amidst those invitations. There have been many moments that I didn't know if I would topple off the hill or the stand. There have been many moments that I questioned whether my light was even worth putting on display. And yet time and time and time again, when I entered those invitations trusting God and inviting the Spirit to move, God showed up brightly. The reality is, it's not about my light, but God shining through me. It's not about my purposes or my acclaim, but God's purposes and His acclaim. If I'm an ambassador of Christ, then my invitation is simply to be where God's inviting me to be and to represent Him. So if it's on a hill or on a stand, I am simply being the conduit of God's light. I really appreciate the way that Tyshandra has been living this out, and she does so with humility. She is keenly aware that moments like you just experienced are not ones that she would have chosen, and yet she is also aware that God is working, and that God can work through her if He so pleases. And you heard it. God used her voice to communicate amazing things. Tyshandra didn't set out to start a podcast or to be a guest on podcasts. She set out to be obedient to God's invitations, which means whoever you are, whatever you bring to the table, you can experience the same. You can be invited to be that city on a hill, that lamp on a stand. And if you're the type whose gut response is, I wish I could remain hidden, be encouraged by that unfortunate verse, it cannot be hidden. Your efforts to stay in the background might be futile, but be encouraged because you are being invited to something immeasurably more than you could ask for or imagine. Be encouraged because you don't have to create the brightness. You don't have to be the fuel for the light. You are simply the conduit. It says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The city didn't put itself on the hill. The city was set there. And in the same way, you don't have to position yourself. You simply have to allow God to position you. When you feel like you have nothing to offer and want to hide under that basket, be encouraged, because when you allow God to use you as He desires to use you, it can give light to all in the house. God can use you to encourage and inspire others. Let your light shine before others. Don't stifle it. Don't hide it. Don't diminish it. Just let it shine before whoever is around you, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you want a simple way to give glory to God, be who He's created you to be and where He's positioned you to be. Allow His light to shine through you. Resist the temptation to hide it or stifle it, but let it shine, even if you don't feel like it's bright, even if you don't feel like it's spectacular, because it's not about your sense of how good your light is. It's about how God wants to use it. You are the light of the world. You already are. So let your light shine before others, and then ask yourself, where did you see God?